My mother walked into my grandparents' house sometime in 1994. And my grandfather, Pop's gruff voice, called to her, "Come here, I want to show you something." He directed Mom to the kitchen cabinets. He opened them incredulously. And there, from bottom to top, end to end, were stacks of canned tuna fish. Dozens and dozens of them. For weeks, it seems, my grandmother Boo had been going to the grocery store, forgetting why she'd made the trip, and at a loss for what else to do, buying tuna fish. It was the first sign that something was wrong. Over the course of the next 8 years, Boo slowly succumbed to Alzheimer's disease. First, she would repeat the same stories within the span of a 10-minute conversation. Then she would become confused in her surroundings. Eventually, one night, she looked across the den at Pop, who had been her love and her life for more than 50 years, and she wondered out loud who that strange man was in her house. In 1997, Pop's heart couldn't bear to watch Boo slowly erased in front of him, and he died. By the time of Boo's own death in 2002, she recognized no one. She even forgot herself. In a Bible study in which I participated more than 20 years ago, the leader said of the Noah story, "Water is the great leveler." That's true in more than one sense. As we all learned last August during Hurricane Harvey, water shows no partiality. It affects and levels all socioeconomic strata, all ages, all races. But water is also the great leveler in the sense that it quite literally levels. The surface of a calm sea is a level plain. The stones in a flowing stream have their edges smooth. Water, given force or time, overwhelms everything in its path. It erases all distinctions. It levels all. This truth has been experienced and known throughout human history. Virtually every ancient culture had its own foundational flood myth. Other than our own, the best known is perhaps the Gilgamesh epic from ancient Babylon. It's actually earlier, older as a story than the Noah story in Genesis. In Gilgamesh, a man builds a boat to save his family from a global flood. The waters come and wash away everything. After the rains have stopped, the man sends out birds to scout for dry land. And once the family finally disembarks the boat, they make sacrifices of thanksgiving. Does any of that sound familiar? Well, that there are other such stories in other religious cultures shouldn't make us doubt the veracity of the Noah story, but rather underscores its truth. See, the flood story is about, at root, the existential fear of being leveled, overwhelmed, drowned, erased. Who among us hasn't had the occasional crescendoing panic that all that we are about in this world will eventually be as forgotten as all those things the water has submerged over time? It's this universal foreboding that inspired every age's and every culture's flood story. Water is the great leveler. And it symbolizes for us that we too will eventually be washed clean from this earth. That our greatest accomplishments will be smoothed down to nothing. Our highest aspirations will drown. Our most cherished legacies they'll be erased. Now, some of you are thinking, good gracious, Barclay, what bad news on a Sunday morning. But I don't actually think so. The truth is never bad news when we approach it from the correct perspective. Bad news is telling ourselves a lie, especially a lie that may lead us to live in this world more self-importantly than we merit, to drink our own Kool-Aid, so to speak. Bad news is when the lie of our own permanence causes us to evaluate ourselves over and above others, subtly assuming that due to circumstance or merit, take your pick, that we are worth abiding while they might just as well wash away. That, I think, is why the lectionary reminds us of the flood story on this first Sunday of Lent. Just as that smudge of ash on our foreheads this past Wednesday reminded us that we are dust, and to dust we will return. Water is the great leveler. And the flood story dredges up in us, as it has for people everywhere, the reality that we are not permanent and we are not the center of all things. This is a good topic for our Lenten meditation. To have the courage to dwell upon it may lead us to live more of our lives for others than for ourselves. It may also grant us the grace not to cling, even to the things we love, which paradoxically will enable us to love better. And when the time of our death comes, it may empower us to meet death not in fear, or even as something to resist, but as a natural part of both individual life and the ever-renewing life of our cosmos. Now, I believe all of this. I wouldn't preach it if I didn't. But then I think of my grandmother Boo. In her case, her erasure didn't take eons. It didn't even require her own death. As Alzheimer's disease flooded her brain with plaque, it was as if we watched her disappear before our eyes. And to do so was deeply sad. At times, the panic would even well up in me, but not for me, for her. And that was far worse. Some of you have even very recently heard me say that Boo is the best person I ever knew, and that is in no way an exaggeration. She was patient, she was attentive, she was kind, she loved people whom no one else would love. And that she faded even while she lived. That my own fragile memory of her will not outlive me. That Boo will, in other words, eventually be erased entirely from this world makes my soul rebel. Just as I must add at the 11th hour, that something deep in my soul rebels against the notion that those 17 children gunned down mercilessly in Parkland, Florida, have been erased from this world. Well, Easter always follows Lent. And knowing of our fragility, God, and maybe the lectionary, also grants us today the end of the flood story, here at the beginning of Lent. Though water is the great leveler, and though the truth of our transience is something that we had best acknowledge and even, I think, embrace, the flood story ends not with the deluge, but with the rainbow. In today's reading, the flood has ended. In the aftermath of the world's erasure, Noah and his family have stepped back onto dry ground. And God sees, as if for the first time, the impact that the leveling waters have had on these human survivors. God perceived the anxiety and the panic that the recognition of our human transience causes. And so in response, God establishes a covenant. God makes a promise to God's children. A promise that is punctuated repeatedly in today's reading by two crucial phrases. Never again. And I will remember. Never again, God says, will our destruction be ultimate. Never again will we, and God importantly includes the diversity of animals along with human beings in that we, never again will we be erased the way that water levels all. And how will God ensure this covenant? How will God keep God's promise? Through the gloom of every storm, including those that threaten to drown us entirely, God pierces the clouds with the arc of the rainbow, which stretches, as we know, from here to eternity. The rainbow symbolizes the second covenant refrain of God. God says, I will remember. Though from this life, we will all fade to nothingness. In the memory of God, we endure. And what endures there is the all of us in our wholeness, in our vitality, and in our strength. My grandmother, Boo, abides in the memory, in the heart of God, not as a shadow of herself, but as the fulfillment of God's hope for her. She's not less there, but more. And that is the promise to each of us and to each of those that we love and to each of those that we have loved. God remembers. God does not forget. The mosaic that is our lives on this earth, with all of our loves and our commitments and our passions and our relationships, lives on in God. And no flood can ever sweep it away. We are but dust. And we endure eternally. That is the flood and the rainbow. That is the paradox of our created being. That is the journey from Ash Wednesday to Lent. If we'll travel it, we will live in this world more lightly and more honestly, shedding our pretension to permanence. But we will also face our mortality without fear, knowing that as sure as the rainbow appears after the storm, God remembers us always and forever. And God's promises, they are unbreakable. Amen.